Good morning to you all. I send warm greeting from this cool and beautiful sanctuary on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today we are six of us here. Amy came all the way from Palm Springs to be the to serve as a liturgist. Judy's on the piano, and the preacher who will fill me in for the next two Sundays, Reverend Dina, is here with us. And Austin is a cameraman in the back, and Deb is doing the Zoom worship. So I send you greetings from all of us and pray that this worshiping experience this morning will fill your heart, give you an encouragement and strength that you need, and you may receive the grace of God in the time of our need. A story is told of a man who could not give a convincing explanation about his broken arm. He kept muttering some story about accidentally sticking his arm through his car window that he thought was down. Now, that's the public version. In private, he confesses that it happened when his wife brought some potted plants inside that had been out on the patio all day. A garter snake had hidden in one of the pots and later slithered out across the floor where the wife had spotted it. I was in the bathtub when I heard her scream, he related. I thought my wife was critically injured, so I jumped out to go help her. I was in such a hurry, I failed to even grab a towel. When I ran into the living room, he yelled that a snake was under the couch. I got down on my hands and knees to look for it, and my dog came up behind me and cold-nosed me. I thought it was a snake, and I fainted. My wife thought I had a heart attack and called for an ambulance. I was still groggy when the ambulance arrived, so the medics lifted me onto the stretcher. When they were carrying me out, the snake came out from under the couch and frightened one of the medics. He dropped his end of the stretcher, and that's when I broke my arm. Well, this is only a joke, but Dina, not long ago, experienced some situation similar to it with a rattlesnake and bravely took care of it. His arm was broken by a series of chain accidents that could have been prevented if the wife did not panic. According to Wikipedia, to me, I looked for different definitions, and Wikipedia had a probably most interesting description. Panic is defined as a sudden sensation of fear, which is so strong as to dominate or prevent reason and logical thinking, replacing it with overwhelming feelings of anxiety and frantic agitation consistent with an animalistic fight or flight reaction. Panic does not accurately reflect reality. It is rather one's fearful reaction to an imaginary or an exaggerated condition. Panic distorts our peace. Panic attack is a kind of spiritual, mental, and emotional battle many of us are engaged. Could faith help to overcome panic or panic attack? If so, how? This morning, I would like us to reflect upon the benefits of faith under the light of Paul's description of Christian armor, the shield of faith. We'll look at how faith could shield our hearts and what kind of protection a shield would provide for the believers. The shield is the most versatile gear of defense among the armor with which ancient Roman soldiers equipped themselves in battle. It blocks attacks of arrows, spears, and swords from multiple directions. It literally shields soldiers from all different kinds of enemy attacks. Out of curiosity, I searched YouTube on the Roman shield. An Englishman posted a short funny video showing that the shield could be used as a canopy, like umbrella, to escape rain, and a cover to slip under. An ancient tale says that a shield saved a Greek warrior, Myrillus, in sea when he used it to waft to the shore. I wonder if the surfing board was invented from the ancient Roman shield. A shield is basically all-purpose protective gear. Faith does have similar versatile characteristics to a shield. Faith does not protect only one area, but it provides multi-purpose defense in spiritual battle and is all-around tool for life. Faith is not a matter of our relationship with God only, but it dictates how we relate to people both in and outside the circle of life. It is so versatile that faith could be applied to every possible circumstance. Now, let us define faith from this perspective. A weak faith means that this versatile faith is not applied as much as it should. And when it is applied, the scope of application is narrow and limited. On the other hand, a strong faith means that its application is very broad and wide open. One with such a faith harvests a powerful living. As it was noted many times throughout the gospel, Jesus' disciples had a weak faith. An example of it was found when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. A sudden storm arose, and the disciples were so frightened. Finding Jesus asleep in the stern, they woke him up and said, "Do you care if we drown?" Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" Then he calms the storm. Afterwards, the disciples said to each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." In their wildest dreams, the disciples never thought that their faith could be useful during the storm. There are many kinds of storm in life. Does the storm of life have anything to do with our faith? The disciples did not think so. Their usage of faith was very limited. They might have related faith to the internal storms, but not to the physical world of wind and the waves. If we do not apply faith to deal with storms, then we have the same attitude of the disciples and share the same kind of faith with them. Let us look at an example of a strong faith. And as we just read, David was an expert in battle. As a boy shepherd, he killed wild beasts such as a lion and a bear, and even a giant Goliath. As he grew older, he subdued all the surrounding nations of Israel. But there was something that this powerful warrior could not do anything about. It was his son Absalom. Absalom was gaining popularity among the people. He went to Hebron, another capital of Israel, and proclaimed himself as king. So many people followed him, including David's chief counselor, Ahithophel. David did not fight his son and ran from his threat. Absalom came to Jerusalem to take his father's throne without opposition. David wrote this Psalm 3 when he fled from Absalom. In the psalm, David acknowledged many foes he had, how people ridicule him. He did not disclose any specific names, but his pain and agony were embedded in the short poetry. David was facing a huge storm of life. Just like a real storm, the storm of David's life came unexpectedly with such a destructive force. What would David do in the kind of situation? His own son was revolting against him. David, an experienced warrior who had hardly lost any battle, would not and could not fight his own son. He'd rather give his throne up. And yet, what was commendable here is that David, in the middle of the terrifying personal storm, trusted in God's care and protection. He said, "Lord, you are a shield around me, a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side." Interesting description in this short poetry is that he said, David, God was like a shield, he said. God protected him like a shield from all directions. Not just his front, but also his sides and his back, which means 360 degrees. Faith is like a shield, which could be applied to 360 degrees, all and any kinds of storm of life. And it includes the pandemic, which came to the world with a destructive force and without warning, just like a storm. Shield was the most versatile and effective protective gear. We have this powerful and versatile tool in Jesus. Why do we not employ and apply it as often as we should? Because we would panic and lose composure during storms, as the disciples did. A storm is destructive, but as long as we keep focus, we will find a way, even in an extreme situation. There's a Korean verb that says, even if you are caught by a tiger, you will survive if you keep your cool. Panicky situation is not always as panicky as it appears. I admit that I was a bit panicky at the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm sure many of you were. But I know as long as we carefully follow health guidelines, we are protected from the virus. We don't have to be panicked. Faith helps keep our cool and not panic. It helps us navigate through the storm. The disciples during the storm apparently become panicky because of their lack of faith. On the other hand, of that whole picture, Jesus was asleep, right? And interestingly, David in Psalm 3 says, even in the midst of his personal storm, he could have a sound sleep. And that's the proof that he had a strong faith in God. Have you experienced a panic attack? It comes to you out of nowhere. Your heart begins to pound and your heart accelerates fast. You tremble and sweat. You feel like that you are being choked and cannot breathe. All these symptoms are real, but there is no real situation that should cause you to go through them. So one of the treatments is to relieve the panic attack, is to recognize that it's just a panic attack, not a heart attack. It is a temporary crazy reaction to no real things. You are all okay. It too shall pass. The shield of faith protects us from panic, worries, anxieties, and all kinds of emotional and spiritual attack. Even facing the most dangerous situation or difficulty, one can survive if he keeps his composure. By faith, we can keep our composure during crisis. How so? Faith helps us to see the true picture of crisis. What is the true picture of crisis? Jesus is in the middle of the storm. That is the true picture of crisis. Craig Brian Lawson wrote this in Leadership Journal. Have you ever feared driving over a high bridge? If so, you are not alone. In fact, some people are so afraid of bridges that they will drive hours out of their way to avoid them. Others try to cross, but have a panic attack in the middle of a bridge and can't go on. They block traffic. Because of this, the operators of some of the longest and highest spans in America now offer a driving service. I did not know that. On request, one of the bridge attendants will get behind the wheel and drive the car over the bridge. In 1991, Michigan's Timid Motorist Program, if you're from Michigan, you may be familiar with this, never heard of it, assisted 830 drivers across the Mackinac Bridge, which is 5 miles long and rises 200 feet above the water. At Maryland's Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which is over 4 miles long and rises 200 feet above the water, authorities took the wheel and helped 1,000 fearful motorists. Bridges aren't the only thing causing fear in people's hearts. In any terrifying situation, the way to get over the paralysis of fear is to do like these motorists. Turn the wheel over to someone else. Turn the situation over to God and then trust Him. You have to cross that bridge, but you are not doing it alone. And God is the one in control. And that is the true picture of your life and my life. Therefore, let us learn from David. Let us shield our hearts with faith. Let us protect our hearts with shield of faith and not panic. You see the real picture of your life? Jesus is in the storm with you. Deliverance is coming from the Lord. God, with his faithfulness, sustains you and I. Amen.